Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the show. So Mira, who exec produces the show and does it very, very well. This is not the easiest ship to sail. It's rather big, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's like a tanker. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you want to sort of change direction, that's not, especially when it's you and I, us Muppets up on the bridge. You know, not Sinead, by the way. I mean,
she does that very good thing. Yeah. Like if you're in a rowing boat,
yes.
Instead of just using one oar to turn around, you can use one oar going forwards and one oar going backwards.
And then
she does that. She's like, whoa, and you're that's almost fun.
Because you do want Mira to stick her oar in, don't you? I mean, that's the whole thing there. Ted Lasso is going to be on this show in either four shows or four podcast time, depending on how you hear the show. He's coming up, Ted Lasso, on the show. We couldn't be more excited.
You know, fellas, we make a lot of choices in our lives.
Yeah.
Every single day, mm-hmm. ranging from, am I really about to eat something called Greek yogurt? Mm. To, should I leave my family and take a job halfway around the world? Me choosing not to be forthright with y'all, that was a bad choice. But I can't be wasting time wishing for a do-over on all that. That ain't how choices work. No, sir. No. That choice in my Chicago Bulls starter jacket that I let Janelle Rhodes borrow my sophomore year because she spilled ketchup all over herself and it looked like she'd been shot. Well, those are two things I ain't ever getting back. Because every choice is a chance, fellas. And I didn't give myself the chance to build further trust with y'all. To quote the great UCLA college basketball coach, John Obi-Wan Gandalf, it is our choices, gentlemen, that show what we truly are, far more than our abilities.
Oh my gosh! Lasso's in the house this Friday. Who Dares saves in the papers today. Also, Sorry Bucks Fizz. Sam's the Euro number one. Sam Ryder has been crowned the winner of the ultimate UK Eurovision Song Competition following a vote to discover the nation's favourite ever entry. I still like that song, don't you?
Still like it.
It's still box fresh, the song.
We do this thing sometimes on a car journey where we get to choose songs in order.
Yes.
And Mary and I both chose that song at the same time. So we just played it twice and everyone was happy with that.
It's still the most difficult song, one of the most difficult songs to sing along to. Yeah. Yeah. I'm up in space. Can't do this morning, no chance. Anybody want to go? I'm up in space. No.
Oh.
You're right.
That was
Sinead.
Really bad.
Sinead's doing the heavy lifting for us, as far as Sam's concerned. Is Sam hosting this year then? I think he must be around, mustn't he, doing something. Is it like this week or next week? Is it the same week? Is it the same weekend as the coronation? It can't be, can it?
No, I think that's the beginning of the week. Because, you know, there's like semi-finals and there's all the build-ups.
Yes.
It starts on that like Monday.
Oh, we're still going to be rocking, aren't we?
Yeah.
All right. May the 9th to May the 13th. That's right. So we have the 8th of May, Motorhead Day, which is our bank holiday. And then Eurovision cracks on. Well, that's going to be a party fortnight and a half, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Goodness me. And he is performing. All right. Sorry, ladies. Britain's most eligible bachelor's engaged. This is the Duke of Westminster. He's very handsome, actually. And his name is Hugh Grosvenor. And he is now going to get married to this lady, his lovely fiancée called, I think her name's Olive or Olivier. Olivia. And they're going to get married. He's worth £9.6 billion.
Whoa.
That is eligible, isn't it? That's highly eligible.
This morning it's also quite eligible because I can't really see straight. But anyway, running smoothly, lovely pictures from the marathon. And all the papers today, Sun, Star, Mail. Now, your marathon minion doesn't seem to have made it into the papers today.
I know, but you have loads.
That's fine. But, you know, that you might expect that. But you wear the marathon outfit so you get in the papers and you haven't got in the papers. So what are you going to do?
I'm going to keep wearing the marathon outfit because I absolutely love it.
You did make the news.
I did make the news.
Because you've been sent loads of stills from your friends. Mm. They're not stills that you took on your phone watching TV last night, are they?
Yes. Let's rewind the news. Rewind the news. I might be on.
How quickly did you run the marathon yesterday, dressed as a sopping wet minion? I mean, you know, that costume anyway. I've tried it on. I can't walk down the corridor in it. He runs a marathon at a blistering pace. And yesterday it was double the weight minimum. He was double the weight because he has to wear tracksuit bottoms and things like that. Otherwise, it chafes on him. You know, and also when it gets wet, it chafes more. But you still ran quicker than ever before. And by the way, you broke your leg a few months ago.
Yeah, that was... that came back to bite me in the second half, actually, that particular shin. I ran it in 3:38, but it was
as a minion,
3 hours and 38 joyful minutes. Because the thing is, I'm the first big costume people see. So everyone's like, oh, look. So they've seen runners, right? And then they think, okay, let's change it up a bit. Oh, look, it's a minion.
That's cool.
Come on, minion.
That's cool.
Imagine 3 hours and 38 minutes of people going, come on, the minion. Yeah. And all the kids go, that minion, minion. So you have to then swerve across the road because that kid needs high-fiving, definitely. Aww. So you go across the road, high-five the kids. And then if you miss one, just sometimes because they can't really see out of it, you think, oh, should I go back? No, because I'm going to cause an absolute carnage if I try and go backwards. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that never occurred to me before, the fact that you will be the first fancy dress that people see as well, and a minion. And because it's massive, the minion outfit. You know, you get a few Big Bens, you get a few rhinos. Sam the rhino always overtakes me at least 3 times just to make sure he annoys me. Big, really massive rhino costume. You know, 3-part costume, head, body, tail.
Wow.
You know, and he comes, you know, skipping past me. It's like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Come on my blind side, please. well done, Vassos. Very impressive.
Well done, everybody.
No, yeah, but well done you particularly in that. So... is your ruse maybe, right, does it make you quicker? Should I wear it next year?
Yes.
Does it actually make you quicker?
But like, the bikes have electric help. Mm. Yeah, I've got rockets in there.
There's something going on?
Yeah.
Is it rechargeable?
Yes.
It is.
Now, yeah, it's recharging now for next year.
How did the government alert go for all of us?
I didn't get it. Did you get it?
I don't know. I lost my phone. Somebody else maybe got it.
Had you lost it by 3?
I don't know. No, I hadn't lost it. I don't know. I've not seen it since like 10:45 yesterday morning. I presume it's in the pub. Anyway, how did the alert go?
Mine was a minute early. I think that was the same for a lot of people. And then other people didn't get it. And then some people got it 2 minutes late.
So had it been the end of the world, you'd have been first off.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say there's a pecking order, but maybe there is. Yeah. And maybe I'm just the one they want to save.
Fair enough.
You know?
Fair enough.
Repopulate the earth.
Lots of little Sinead's all around.
If that's what they want, that's what they want, all right?
Why are they doing it? Why? What could possibly happen that alerting us all would benefit, other than trying to control us a bit? What do you think?
Well, so theories are it's a distraction, you know, from everything else that's going on, right? So, like, it's got everyone talking about this alert, and people are talking about it, right? Then other people, there was a guy I just had in the news, and he was like, it is actually a good idea, because if there is something massive happening, it's a good way to let people know if there is any kind of terror threats. We don't know what sort of things might be bubbling under. So
They do have a similar thing in the States for missing children. Alerts go off on phones, you know, there is a missing child around, please look for this child. I don't know how it works after the alert, but apparently it has been very helpful in those situations, which is a great reason for that. Yeah. But that's more sort of localised.
Yeah. Maybe this will be used localised if there is something in one particular part of the country.
The Sun front page, finally, it's United versus City. Brighton 0, Man United 0. Man United won 7-6 on penalties. I didn't realise that Man United and Man City have never met in the FA Cup final. I thought that used to happen every year.
I know, that's a sort of weird quirk. But when the semi-final draw was made, and it was like, oh, it could be a Manchester Derby final for the first time ever, everyone went, oh, for the first time ever. So Man City beat Sheffield United at an almost empty Wembley on Saturday, but it was absolutely rocking yesterday. Manchester United 0, Brighton 0, and then poor old Solly March, he missed the unlucky 13th penalty, actually, and Manchester United went through 7-6 on penalties. It was a good shootout.
Is it true? There's a picture here of a Man United player kissing the ball and then passing it to a Brighton player. Is that the Brighton player that missed?
Well, I watched both. It was quite difficult because it was always a wide shot. I was watching it on telly. And Matthew, I was watching it with my son Matthew, who's 16, he goes, look what David De Gea is doing to Solly March. He seemed to be sort of scuffing the spot, and he was right in front of him as he was trying to put the ball. And that hadn't been happening, actually. The Brighton keeper had been handing the ball to the Brighton players, and it was all very nice. And then this one, I said, are you sure that's because they were both wearing the same? But it was De Gea, and it just seemed to get into Solly March's head. And I also feel, Brighton, I'm sorry about this. It might be my fault that you lost the penalty shootout, because I've been really... Lewis Dunk, who's a centre-back, took the penalty, and I thought, oh no, he's going to miss that. And they never did. And as soon as Solly March turns up, I thought, I was so confident. And I said to Matthew, don't worry, this one's in. And he blazed it over the bar. So it might actually be my fault.
He blazed it over the bar. Is that what you do? You blaze. I didn't know that. Don't you sky them?
He did the full Chris Waddle.
Okay. Mario Minio, morning, Chris, the team. Well done on completing the marathon. Is this massive? If so, he made the cut on the BBC coverage. Not so impressive as the marathon, but I achieved 100 pot runs this Saturday, cinched it from Hayley in Swinton. That's pretty... It's great. It's great is what it is. I was getting ready in the tent before the marathon yesterday next to Richard Whitehead, who's... He runs on Blades, and it was his 77th marathon yesterday, and his best time is 2:42.
Oh my goodness! It was
such an honour. We spent an hour just chatting about marathons and running and his life and his career and what he does now and how amazing he is. But what an inspiration! What a great thing! What a great person for me to be able to be with before we start running a marathon.
Well, I was with him at the end. We ran down Birdcage Walk together.
Did you really?
And actually, once in New York, we ran together at about it was that bit in the Bronx. Yeah. We ran together and had a nice chat.
Wow. What a guy.
What a guy. Well played, Richard.
What a guy. What a day, everyone. Just looking at Sorry You Bucks Fist, this story again. Sam Ryder is Britain's Eurovision number one, the top 10 Eurovision songs from the UK. You think, well, it would only be a two-horse race between Bucks Fist and Sam Ryder. What kind of shows that? But actually, looking back at the top 10, they're not bad at all. Michael Ball, One Step at a Time, 1992. Lulu's Boom Banga Bang, 1969. You know that
yes.
one? Boom Banga Bang, Boom Banga Bang, that's how it goes. Boom Banga Bang, Boom Banga Bang, everyone knows. The New Seekers, Beg, Steal or Borrow. You gotta beg, steal or borrow. La, la, la. Voice is coming back, just checking with that song. Cliff Richard, number 7, with Congratulations and Jubilations. Written by my pal, Wiley. Yeah. Sandy Shaw, Puppet on a String. He also wrote that one as well.
I love that one.
Yeah.
Like a puppet on a string.
Ding dong, ding
and
dong.
And she never wore shoes, did she? I used to think she was very cool.
She was very, very cool. Brotherhood of Man, still is. Save Your Kisses for Me. Katrina and the Waves. Love, Shine a Light. 1997, number 4. Number 3, Gina G. Ooh, ah. Just a little bit. Ooh, ah. Little bit more. Ooh, ah. Just a little bit. What are you waiting for? I wouldn't have said that was a Eurovision. It's too good. For a Eurovision song.
And it was a really good song, and I think it did really badly as well, but that was the time when we just got nul point for being British.
96 started that early, did it? Nul point.
I think
so. I thought we were our nul point sort of zenith was like the noughties. Or was it?
I might be wrong. Yeah. It happened before.
How many points did Gina G's Ooh Ah Just a Little Bit get? Number 2, Bucks Fizz, Making Your Mind Up. That won it, of course, didn't it? Mm. I think, 1981. And Sam Ryder's Spaceman, 2022. Didn't win it, but nearly won it.
Yeah.
77 points. Not nil points.
No, that's
points.
Pretty good, 77.
It's not bad at all, is it? Blackpool Zoo recruiting human seagull deterrents. Look, this is people dressed in future potential Vassos Alexander marathon costumes.
Yes.
It's very funny. I know you can't see it. It's much funny when you see the picture.
It's
a zoo is trying to recruit a team of people to wear bird costumes and scare away nuisance seagulls. That'll scare everyone away, including the humans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Question for Vassos. Did you manage to get to go go-karting after the marathon yesterday because you said you'd booked some go-karting because you're mad, says John and Angela in Andover. You are truly inspirational, but you are mad.
Well, here's the thing. I hadn't booked because it's such a big thing.
Yes.
You know, like Caroline's birthday or something like that. It's so big, you don't put it in the diary because you're never going to forget about doing the London Marathon on the 23rd of May. And about 10 days ago, we've got some vouchers to go go-karting. I thought, oh, we've got a weekend in London. Fulham are playing Leeds at home. We'll definitely be... We're not in Whitstable this weekend. Oh, I'll use those vouchers for go-karting on Sunday, on the Sunday when we've got a weekend in London. And I hadn't put... So then I booked it for 3:30. Then obviously I remembered we've got the London Marathon. I thought, well, if I'm relatively quick, I could get... Well, yeah, we could do that. So then we did. And I was like, hurrying everyone up. Okay, I've got to have a quick shower because I was disgusting. Quick ice bath. Go-karting turned up. I was only like 3 or 4 minutes late. They asked you to arrive 30 minutes early. And I thought, this will be fine. But they had, unbeknownst to me, sent me a mobile phone message saying, we're running really late, like 2 hours late. So please don't turn up on time. So then we got our overalls on and then we thought, no, we're not waiting. We'll just give us another voucher. So we did and we didn't go go-karting.
And then you watched the football?
We watched the penalty shootout. We turned on at the perfect time.
Right, I was into the weekend. I was going to see the fabulous ABBA Avatar show on Sunday. This is from Sal in Goodwith, Clatford. And we timed it well because we missed the rain. Good to see people proudly wearing their marathon medals on the way home. It is lovely, that. Tash and I jumped on a couple of Boris bikes straight after the race to cycle to the restaurant. And it's quite cool, to be honest, because you've just finished the race. It's quite clear you've just finished the race because you have the marathon bags, those transparent plastic bags with your race number on that you have on your back. And you have to have that because that's what your gear's in. And then you have your medal on. And people, and London is packed. I mean, packed. You know, around Trafalgar Square, it's like New Year's Eve. There are hundreds of thousands of people and the atmosphere is so joyous and so celebratory, and you're sort of weaving through on your bikes and you've just finished the marathon and thinking, and now they're cycling.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, we are. I mean, it hurts like hell, but it's worth it.
It actually helps the legs as well.
Oh, yeah.
It helps because, it gets blood flowing through.
It's a cool down,
them,
isn't it? It's a cool down. Rhiannon in Wrexham, congrats on the marathon. Our cinch of the weekend was watching Wrexham AFC get promoted. Officially the best night of my sons, Finley and Luke's lives so far. Finley's 9 and Luke is 6. Tell us about Wrexham Bazaars.
So Wrexham dropped out of the Football League 15 years ago in 2008. The top four divisions are called the Professional Football League. And then after that, it's non-league. So they're a non-league side for the last 15 years. They nearly went out of business. The fans bought the club. And then these two Hollywood superstars, Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney.
They've written a song about how to say his name. Just let's have a bit of that quickly before Vassos cracks on. In case you, this gives you the confidence to say it properly. It's Rob McElhenney. I say McElhenney because I drop my H's because I've always dropped my H's, but you don't. We don't have the song.
I panic. I say Rob and then I panic is what happens.
I think we need to leave the song in on our wall. There you go. Here we go. Here we go. Just very quickly, very briefly.
Sure, he's got a pretty face that people know they know. They think they recognize him from his big-time TV show. But despite the accolades, despite the load of fame, one thing that they do not know is how to say his name.
Especially Vassos.
Pronouncing all those N's and E's and H's can perplex him. So here's a little birthday gift from all your mates in Wrexham. It's McElhenney. What ways to massacre and mispronounce it, there are many.
McElhenney.
It's McElhenney.
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 If there was doubt, now there won't be any. It's McElhenney.
Continue.
So these Hollywood superstars, Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney.
Yay!
Buy the club for £2 million from the fans. The fans had a big vote. Do we want these guys? What are they? Why? Why are they buying this club in North Wales? But they thought, no, actually, let them get on with it. You know, it's if nothing else, it's an adventure, you know, and life's an adventure. But, you know, it means a lot to people in Wrexham, the football club. And they don't want to be a non-league side. And they've been a non-league side. And then they pumped £2 million in it, not just the men's first team, the youth teams, the women's team. They're always in the... Wrexham has fallen in love with these two guys. They bring their Hollywood A-list fans as well. Paul Rudd was there yesterday, drinking in the pub with the fans, doing all the selfies. you know, granting all the fans' wishes, anything they want. Yes, we're here for you. And then yesterday was the day they were playing Borehamwood. They had to win in order to seal the title and gain promotion back to the Football League. They went 1-0 down because it's Hollywood, because it's Wrexham. Stuff happens like this, right? They went 1-0 down inside a minute, obviously.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
Wow.
But they fought back with one of the goals of the season as well. They won 3-1 and Wrexham are now a league side once again. Next season they will be playing in League Two. Well played, Wrexham, and well played. I'm going to go again. Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney.
I'm presuming Ben Foster is the captain.
Ben Foster is the goalkeeper.
The goalkeeper. Okay, here we go. This is Ryan Reynolds after the game yesterday asking Ben Foster for his shirt.
If anything, this
Foster.
Jersey now. This is his jersey. This stinks, by the way. Honestly, this absolutely stinks.
Are you wearing an undershirt?
Yeah.
Give me your jersey.
Can't say no to the owner, can I?
Are you putting that on eBay, Ryan, or what's going on? Listen, I work in show business. We fall on hard times.
He texted me for that earlier. He did. He texted. He's so hungry for the shirt. Like, he's going, make sure you don't throw that into the crowd, Ryan.
Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney and their new friend Paul Rudd in the Rubber Dub Dub.
Yeah. It's great. It's such a fantastic story. And it just seems like they are loving it. This is the great joy of their lives. And, you know, from nowhere. I mean, if you'd said, like, these two Hollywood superstars are going to buy a football club, all right, you know, are they in for Manchester United with a consortium? You know, no, they're going to buy Wrexham. It's not easy to get to Wrexham. It's just not.
It's not easy to get to Man United if you live in LA, yeah. But it doesn't make any difference. So the fans bought it for 100 grand and they bought it for 2 million. So did the fans make a profit then?
I hope so.
Or did they? Maybe they had a debt going on and they had to pay off the debt. I don't know. Maybe they took over the debt.
And they've pumped 3 further million pounds into the team since then.
Right.
But, you know, keep going this way. There'll be a Premier League side soon and they can sell it for 6 billion.
Yes, I don't think they have an exit plan.
No.
We're quite intrigued where this goes, you know. Because if it was a screenplay, I mean, they're great storytellers. Ryan Reynolds is a great storyteller, isn't it? You know, the films he's involved with, they're beautiful stories, they're great messages. He's a fantastic communicator. He's full of joy. He's on the front page of the papers today. You know, he rocks these sort of, in a way, like the old National Health specs, but he looks really cool in them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's got a puffer jacket on and National Health specs, and he still looks like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Should we talk about the lady who won the London Marathon yesterday?
Oh, my goodness me. Sifan Hassan, she is called. And what a story this is. This is her first ever marathon. She's a double Olympic gold medalist on the track, 5,000 metres and 10,000 metres in Tokyo. But she is turning up in London whilst fasting for the holy month of Ramadan, by the way. So
oh,
she's got
goodness.
To train without eating during daylight hours.
What?
She says, look, I'm absolute, you know, her pre-race press conference, she goes, I'm terrified. It's 26.2 miles. It's four times longer than I usually run at my maximum, you know, more than four times longer. And she turns up and then a few miles into the race, sort of 8 miles into the race, she's holding her hip. She's got a hip injury. Paula Radcliffe on the telly is saying someone's got to tell her to stop. Then she does stop and she starts stretching out her hip and her glutes. And you think, well, that's her race done. Doesn't matter. You know, you're a double Olympic champion. Carry on. There'll be other marathons. And this field, you know, Hugh Brasher told us on Friday, it's the greatest women's field ever assembled ever in any race, in any distance race. You're not going to win this. Anyway, so she's miles behind because she's had to stop
How
and stretch.
How far behind was she?
Oh, when you lose a group, they're pretty much
Sinead,
lost.
You saw it. How far behind was she?
Well, it's hard to tell on the screen because, you know, the camera's popped from different... But she was way behind.
Hundreds of metres.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But also that sort of feels longer when you're running. You know, they always say on the elite level, once you've gone, you've gone.
Yeah.
You know, you like the peloton has gone and you're sort of, you're out the back.
Mm.
But she, you know, head down, she caught them up again. And then they're turning onto the mall, three of them, two of the greatest marathon runners who've ever lived. And this marathon newbie who's never run more than 10,000 metres and was cramping at the
start. Ever.
And by the way, she sort of missed a drink station and she sort of had to veer across the road, grab a drink. And then when she did, she was really pleased. But then she realised that her rival next to her didn't have a drink. So she offered her some, which was quite lovely.
I want to watch this in real time.
She was saying that she didn't know the etiquette of the drink station because she's never done a race this long. Mm. She didn't know like when you're supposed to get it and when you're not. So that's why she was like, I'll get one. And then, do you want one? So actually, her time could have been faster, couldn't it? That's the thing. Well, she was all this stopping.
I would leave it there if I was her, wouldn't you? Get Ryan Reynolds to make a film about
yeah!
it. You know?
Anyway, so
a song about how to pronounce her name. And
as they turn onto the mile, a couple of hundred metres to go, less than. She's absolutely not the favourite to win still. There's three of them, you know, as I say, two of the greatest marathon runners in history.
They're probably completely freaked out by
and
the fact
her,
she's still with them. She's offering them drinks. Can I get you anything else? Yeah.
she outsprinted them both to win by a good distance in the end.
I want to watch it back.
Across the finishing line and going, I couldn't believe the line was there. I thought we had further to run.
I think that's what I'll do today. This afternoon, I'm going to watch the ladies' race back in real time. Yeah. I just want to see that. Because it's a thing, isn't it? I mean, that is a spectacular thing to happen in sport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.